Okay, guys, I announced it earlier. I will announce it one more time. Our 13th annual Toy Drive and Biker Sunday. All the church services are exactly the same time. But afterwards, we have lunch, bring toy or donation. They'll be signing up for raffle over in the building and a short ride afterwards. And this is our 13th. That seems, not only 27, so that's weird. It must have been 4. Do what? Yep, I do. It did. So, we're going to be talking about the path to the palace. That was last service. We're going to do the Acts of the Apostles for this service. I'm on the wrong page. Don't think I'm scattered this morning. Don't let it worry you. Okay. So, Acts chapter 9. The path to the palace, by the way, you can go watch that. It was about 40 minutes ago. But here's what's happened. Jesus in Matthew 28, Acts in Luke 24, he said essentially the same thing. Okay, guys? He said, go into the world and preach the gospel to every living creature, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. He said, all authority has been given to me. Does everybody understand that part? Okay, that's a command. That's not a suggestion. And I'm going to tell you, we talked about it earlier, you don't have to do it like I did it. You don't have to do it like anybody else does. This is not a form that we use to do. But you be the person God's called you to be, representing the gospel, the grace, the love, the mercy of Jesus Christ. And guess what? That's good news. That's what the word gospel means, is good news. It's not about how good you are. That's not the good news, because I can find something wrong with everybody in here and everybody that's watching. Because, I'm good that way. I can always find, a flaw. So he literally says all authority. And he says, baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And another thing he says is this, which is interesting. Jesus says those who believe and are baptized will be saved. Interesting. They may make a mess while they're here. Anybody know anybody that's made a mess while they were here? Maybe a friend of mine, one time we were singing a song, and he said, did you know who wrote that song? I said, yeah, I know who wrote it. He said, man, that guy had a horrible life. He did this, and he did this, and he died of that, and did this. And I go, really? He said, yeah. And he said, we shouldn't be singing that song. I said, okay. Well, we're going to have to take out a portion of the Bible. Because Paul said, the very thing that I don't want to do, I do. The very thing I do, I don't. I don't want to be me. I want to be better. David had a few problems through his life. And we're dealing with that in Sunday school, or first service. So this is what happened. So Paul is persecuting the church. They have been beaten, worn, scattered. And the first point is this, guys. Circumstances of your life will open doors. And as I was studying this, I was like, that's the truth. The reason I'm in Missouri was not because I think that'll be a great place to move. I think this, I'm planning, this is going to grow. I didn't ever think, I'm not smart enough to do that. God brought me here by a series of circumstances that he worked out beforehand. Does that make sense? And in the middle of that, though, I'm faithful to do, I have semi-faithful, to do what he has called me to do. And in that, there's good fruit. Does that make sense? Okay. And here's the deal. He uses this persecution. You say, God, I think sometimes we fight and fight and fight against things in our life that's going on, and God's using them to bring us to a place he wants us. You're actually fighting God and his purposes. Or if you're struggling this morning, listen, it's bringing you closer to him. If someone's doing you wrong, that's bringing you to a place to cry out to him. Or you can get bitter. Anybody here ever deal with bitterness? Me, I have. Or you can get better. You can be bitter. Are better, okay? And that's your choice. That's a choice that you make. If you apply God's word to it, if you apply what he says about it, or you can't just be mad, okay? You notice there's a lot of mad folks. A lot of mad folks. I don't mean like bit by a rabid skunk mad. I just mean like angry. Maybe that's a better way. There's a lot of angry folks right now because they're not getting what they deserved, okay? Well, I'm going to tell you something. You can either be better or bitter. So make that choice today. Say, God, I want to be better. I want to be better. You know, and I was telling a story recently about my childhood. And I had some great things that happened in my childhood. I'm seriously, I was loved. I was taken care of. I had some great things. But I had some horrible things. I was made fun of. A bunch of stuff. And you know what God did with that? He used that I make jokes. I like to have fun. That's, full disclosure. But I don't want to hurt anybody because I've been hurt. I don't want to hurt. I don't want to talk about that person. You know, I may think it, but I'm smart enough not to say it. Anyway, all right, or care enough not to say it. But those circumstances, God uses real people. As you look in the Bible, he uses real people in those circumstances. When I was raising up there, we had no problems. There was no problems. There's no problems in our house. There's no problems in anybody's houses in the church. There's no problems. There's no problems. If there was, you covered them up. There was no problems. This is probably the average house. I'm gonna leave you tomorrow. I'm gonna leave you. What? All this screaming and hollering in the background, and then the phone rings back in the old days. Pick up and says, "Well, hello. God bless you. How are you today?" Nobody ever said anything like that. Okay. Well, we didn't have any problems because if it stuck, we covered it up. If it was ugly, we put a coat of paint on it. Right? Does God's people have problems? But God uses real people to do his work.
Yes.
Not fake. Okay, yeah, you can be fake if you want to, But it works better when you're real. You be you. And I'm going to tell you something, that what comes against us is real problems. Real problems. Families have problems, don't they? Divorces. We have sickness. We have pain. We have struggles. We have all this stuff. We're real people with real problems. But here's the good news. You ready? In the middle of all that, we've got a real answer. It's not a religious answer. It's a real answer. And the answer is not if you will act like I act, everything will just be okay. And if you do this or you do that. No, that's not the answer. The answer has a name. His name is Jesus. And that personal relationship with him is what changes our lives. That daily walk with Jesus. And I know that because that's what the Bible says. I know that because I've lived it in a failing fashion, if that's the best way to say it. But the truth is everywhere I have let him come into my life, it has been better. Those circumstances open doors, the persecution, the mistakes. I'm going to tell you something. God will use your mistakes. Did you know that? Did you know he can do that? He can make a message out of your mess. You can make a mess. Somebody asked me about one time, this was years ago, they said, "Bruce, this has been on my heart to do this." And I said, "Do it." I said, "What about this? What about this? What about this?" I said, "Do it." I said, "Do it, make a mess of it. Just get in it and do it." Because I'm going to tell you something. My dad told a wonderful story. He said, when I first started preaching one time, I got Jonah in the lion's den and couldn't get him out. Of course, there's no tape. There's no live stream back in those days. So, I would love to have heard that sermon. Jonah in the lion's den. But anyway, he said, "Bruce, you make messes. You mess things up, you start songs in the wrong key." I didn't do that today, but I did start on the wrong page of my notes. But here's the deal. Does God take messes and make a message out of that for the world? Because I want to tell you something. I love the fact that when Jesus has been, he has risen from the dead and standing there, and he says, all power has been given to me on heaven and earth. And this is go into the world, preach the gospel to every living creature, baptize in the name of the Father. And some of them said, literally in that text, we can look it up later if you want to. In that text it said, and they believed, but some doubted. He's rose from the dead. What do you want? No, what do you want? He's been nailed to the cross. They put him in a hole in the ground and he rose from the dead. And it says that some doubted. Man, that makes me feel better about myself. Anybody ever having a little bit of doubt around the edges? Yeah, you know. Kind of stinks around the edges, kid. But anyway, I'll tell you something else, guys. Literally, Peter steps out of the boat, right? Won't walk on the water. He takes a couple of steps and he gets to looking at the circumstances. Right? Is that what happened? Hey, you never done that? You ain't ever got out of the boat? No, I've been out of the boat. And I needed to hand up several times. Okay? But here's the deal. If you don't get out of the boat, you're never going to see the power of God. Step out on that edge, you know. And that's where all the fruit is. There's no fruit off the trunk. You ever notice that? The fruit's out there on them limbs. You got to go out on a limb. So I'm talking to somebody this morning, and so you apply it to where you need to apply it. So I want to tell you, there have been several, I'm not going to go into it for sake of time, there have been several huge, huge scientific discoveries made in error. In error. They were trying to do this, and they did this. And it turned into something, a blessing for everybody, but a mistake, okay? So, listen, God can use you, okay? So, I want to tell you, Acts chapter 9, so this has all happened. They've been jailed, beaten, warned, scattered, and in the middle of that, we need to look at this right here, guys, and this is actually where we're going. I had one more thing I wanted to say before this, though. I've got these two words. Pain. If you're in pain this morning, whether it's physical pain, whether it's mental pain, whether it's emotional pain, I want to tell you something. If you will allow it to, God will take your pain and turn it into progress. He really will. I've seen it over and over. Because if we're not careful with 167 channels of cable, we'll sit there and watch, you know, reruns of NCIS, okay? But in pain, that moves us from there to begin to call on the name of the Lord, begin to call out, to begin to look, begin to seek. Those who seek will find. Those who knock, it will be opened. Is that what the Bible says? And let that pain, instead of it making you bitter, let it take that pain to progress. And I'm going to tell you something. Can't nobody tell you how to run their finances till somebody screwed it up bad. Is that the truth? Come on. When there's more month than there is money, and you figure out maybe you shouldn't have bought the large mayonnaise, you should have got the small, you know, or not the 64 crayon, maybe go with the 13. Anyway, and listen, nobody can, you know who is the best, some of the best speakers, I'd say really the best speakers I've heard on addiction are people who have suffered through it, okay? And they can talk about it like nobody else. And I can, when I'm talking to people about life and things that I've been through, family problems, whatever, you know, doubt, fear, shame, I can talk about that like nobody else because I've walked that path. Does that make sense? And let that pain give you progress personally. But guess what? God never does anything just for you. He loves you. Okay. But your purpose is to share that. Some of us, not me, but some of us in this building have been through divorces And as we go through that, it's a tearing, it's a ripping. And I want to tell you something, guys, you can help people on the other side of that. Conflicts, disappointments. Anybody here ever been disappointed? I've been slightly disappointed from time to time. Just, you know, because, you know, my expectations, you know, maybe a little bit, okay. So, Acts 9. And this is, all that was the intro. Merry Christmas. We'll be out of here in about a week. Okay. But no, not, we'll have a break. Yeah. So, here's the deal. Then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest. And he asked for letters from him of the synagogues of Damascus so that he found any who were of the way. I love that word. In the New King James, it is actually capitalized. Guess what? We're on a path and we are following the way. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Is that right? We are following the way. This is not a, yes, we do have a building, we do have, but this is a way. We're on a way, and he is the way, okay? And so he asked for letters so that he could find it any other way, whether men or women, they might bring them bound to Jerusalem. I want to tell you, the enemy is always trying to kill, steal, and destroy. Is that true? He's always trying to bind you. He's always trying to shut your mouth. Well, you know, if God loved me, this wouldn't happen. If this is always coming against you. He's here to steal, kill, and destroy, and he's not lazy, okay? As he journeyed, he came near Damascus. Now watch this. And suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. I love the way God works. He takes Moses, and it takes him 80 years to get ready to do what God wanted him to do. 80 years. Evidently, God's not worried about the time frame. You say, Bruce, I missed that boat. No, if you're breathing, you still have a purpose for your life. If you're 27 or 97, okay, you still have a purpose for your life. And here's the deal. As he does that, he says, this light, he came near to man, and a light shone, and he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying, get these words, guys, get these words. Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Where was Jesus at that time? In heaven. But guess what you are? You are the body of Christ. You are. This group of people right here, the people that believe and follow him, we are the body of Christ. We forget that. And we, okay, here's this denomination, here's this denomination, here's the Christian church, here's this people, here's this. And have you, okay, in my whole life, I have never reached out and go, hit my own hand. Not one time. Because that's my hand. Why would I do that? It hurts. That didn't hurt too bad, but you know, I'm pretty tough. But anyway, but the point being is, seriously, not one time have I said, I'm just gonna beat myself. No, I've done it mentally, but I've not one time. You know why? Because it's connected to me. Why would I point my finger over there at this church? Well, they don't do it like we do it, because we do it like that. And man, I can't believe you don't do it like that, because we do it like this, and we're right, and you're wrong, and yeah, we're better looking. My life is perfect. Anyway, but right? Is that right? Do we do, have we been doing that for 2,000 years since he left? Start fussing and fighting over something that doesn't matter, and I'm sick of it. Well, I wasn't there for the whole 2,000. I know I look like it, but okay. But the point being is this, guys. That's wrong. And we talked about the prayer that Jesus prayed last week. We won't get back into that because we don't have time. But the reality is as we follow him, as we love one another, the world will know that Jesus came from God. That's what his prayer was, what he said. And you go say, well, I don't know about that. Well, okay, did you need to take everything Jesus set out? Is he the way, the truth, the life? Okay, well then what he said about that is the way. And you wonder why people don't want to come to church or don't want to believe about church. Well, they're going to fall. They just fight amongst themselves. Why? Well, we're getting a ship with a bunch of fighting sailors. Okay, and so the gospel ship stays half empty. All right, so this is what happened. Saul, why are you persecuting me? And I'm going to tell you something. He wasn't doing anything to the person of Jesus, but he was doing something to the body of Christ. And he said, who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus. I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads. It is hard for you to kick against the goads. It is hard for you to pull back. You're bound into this strap of religion, and you're kicking against, but I am the way, the truth, and the life, guys. And watch this. So he trembled and astonished. He said, Lord, what do you want me to do? Let's just say it like this. Does God know how to get our attention? I think it is interesting in my life, just full disclosure, when things are going good, my time in prayer, fasting, all that, it goes this way. Okay, doesn't mean I don't pray, doesn't mean I study, okay? Pray, study, listen, all that. But when things get bad, guess what happens? My prayer, fasting, time, guess what? It starts growing. Does everybody understand that? Because there's a direct correlation to that. And I want to tell you something. This was a driven guy. Saul, who became Paul, was driven. He had that personal, that drive in him. Because he was out there. He was gathering up folks. He was putting them in jail. He had a drive, didn't he? But you see, God knows how to get our attention. He got his attention, and he said, Lord, hey, what do you want me to do? Because being knocked off your donkey, blinded at this point, we're going to talk about that in a minute, by this bright light, okay, that would get your attention, okay? And he's trembled and astonished. He says, arise to the city and go to the city, and you will be told what you must do. And the man who was with him stood speechless, hearing a voice but seeing no one. So he wasn't the only one that heard it. Okay. Then Saul rose from the ground, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no one, but they led him by the hand and brought him to Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight and neither ate or drank. He's fasting. He's crying out. What in the world? So I've been fighting this, and I want to tell you guys, some of you that are watching, some of you that are here, you say, I've been fighting this, and God knows how to get our attention. And maybe we need to take that energy that we've been using, fighting one another, fighting against this cause or that cause, and begin to pursue the person of Jesus Christ, okay? And as we pursue the person, I promise you, he will pick you for what he has put in you from birth, okay? He uses, I'm kind of a clown. I mean, anybody that really knows me knows that. I'm kind of a clown. Look at me. You know, I don't juggle much anymore. But I actually was at Agri Days the other day in Green Forest, and they had good bands there all day long. I was there for the sheriff's office, handing out stickers and hugging necks and kissing babies and all that. And toward the end, there are some folks that I knew from years ago. I actually knew their parents from years ago. And we were playing around at the end, and we had a little dance-off, you know, right as literally we just, everybody thought it was hilarious. But the point being is this, you know, God actually uses that. And he's like, what's wrong with you? I don't know. You know, got too much attention as a child or not enough, who knows? But, you know, was dropped on my head several times, probably thrown into the attic. No, we didn't have attic fan. But anyway, but the point being is He uses what he's given me. And yeah, I have to temper that. I have to watch what I do. I have to watch what I say. You know, be careful. But the point is, God will use your strength. If you're intellectual, God wants to use that intellect. If you're social, God wants to use that. I have friends in my life, this is not a joke, okay, that their strength is they lock themselves away in fasting and prayer. Lock themselves, and I don't mean, you know, without their, I mean, they literally, they don't have a closet, but they go in and they focus on that for days at a time. And you know what comes from that? Revelation. What comes from that is change. What comes from that is good things. And, you know, I could be locked in there 20 minutes and I'd be saying, I need to be doing this. I need to, you know, and then I have to write that down so I could do it later. And then I'd have to pray. But the point being is, he has a gift for that. And we all have a place in this. But he's there. Right, and he never either drank. And Ananias, and I love this part of the story, guys. I love this part of the story. Verse 10. There was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him the Lord said in a vision, Ananias, he says, here I am, Lord. Here I am. And the Lord said, arise and go to the street called Straight, and inquire at the house of Judas. It wasn't the Judas that we earlier, for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he is praying. So does that tell you what he was doing in 3 days? Did God get his attention? Okay. And in a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias coming and putting his hand on him so he might receive his sight. And Ananias answered, Lord, listen, this is my favorite part. This is not a joke. This is my favorite part. Lord, I've heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done for your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from chief priests to go bind all who call on your name. Was there a little fear there? Was it well placed? I don't want to go to prison. I've been visited a bunch of times in jails. I've not been to prisons, but I've spent a lot of time talking to people in jail. And, you know, but I don't want to stay there. I'm always ready to leave. And the Lord said, go, for he is a chosen servant of mine to bear my name for the Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. Have you ever looked at that scripture? Not one of those had happened yet. Up until that point, he was a big deal. He sat at the foot of Gamaliel. And now he's out there, he's got a mission. He's like the Blues Brothers. He's on a mission from God. Okay? He may have even had Ray-Bans. I don't know. And he's on a mission. And he's arresting people. He's a big deal. He comes in, he's got them all bound up. That, look at me, look at me, look at me, look at me. One personal contact with Jesus changed everything. It knocked him off his donkey, put him on the ground, blinded him to everything other than what he was supposed to be thinking about. And he is sitting there now, crying out to God. And guys, I want to tell you something. When it says these words, he's going to find out how much he must suffer. Being from the background that I'm from, I'm like, I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. It's all going to be one big long fun. It's going to be, and guess what? Life ain't one big long fun. It ain't one big long water slide. Well, sometimes it feels like it's got sand on it as you go down your bathing suit. But anyway, but the point being is this, guys. Watch this. Literally, when at the end of Paul's life, of this suffering, of this, he wouldn't have traded it for anything. Read the story of Paul. At one point, he is building tents all day and preaching all night. He wouldn't, at the end of it, because of the fruit that he has, because of the visions of, or the revelation of grace and mercy and love that he was able to take to the Jews, the Gentiles, he wouldn't have traded that for anything. He is up there right now doing whatever they do in heaven, and he wouldn't trade that for anything. How many times have we used the words of Paul? How many times have we used them for comfort and to understand, for him to peel back some things so we can see him? And God wants to do, listen, we're not all Pauls, okay? But what we are is we, and just as when God is talking to Ananias, he says, he's going to find out what he's supposed to do for me. Is that what happened? And it took some risk on Ananias. Are you willing to take a risk? Okay. I want to tell you something. Every time I turn that camera on, every time I come in here and try to figure out what key something's in, I take a risk. And after you've done it for a few years, it's easier, that part of the risk. But every once in a while, God will have you take a risk. And here's the deal. It's not about getting out of here with the most toys. It's not about leaving here with the most toys. You can't take nothing with you anyway, okay? It's not about leaving here, and I'm not taking an offering, okay? This is about you being obedient to God. And Ananias then, this is the last part of this, went his way and entered the house, laying his hands, verse 17, laying his hands on him and said, "Brother Saul, when's the last time you hugged somebody's neck that you totally disagree with, but they agree with that we need a Jesus, and you said, brother or sister? When's the last time you did that?" Ananias took a risk. He could have grabbed him and said, "I'm taking you to jail because you're what?" Couldn't he? Was that a risk? I'm going to tell you something. Take a risk. Laid his way and entered the house, laying his hands, said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you sent me, that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Be filled with the Holy Spirit. "Immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once. He rose and was baptized. And when he had received food, he was strengthened, and Saul spent some days with the disciples at Damascus." Well, there's a bunch there, isn't there? And here's the deal, guys. Let's just condense it real quick and we'll close. But the bottom line is this. Literally, Saul, just like you, was chosen, selected, preordained, predestined from the foundation of the earth. He knows the amount of hairs on your head. He knows your DNA. He knows this, and he has a plan for your life, okay? And wherever you're at right now, he wants you to go from this to take the next step to be saying yes to him. And Saul, he was so hard-headed, Paul, he was so hard-headed. I like him. He reminds me of some people that I may shave occasionally. But anyway, but the point being is this. He was hard-headed. But God used that hard-headedness for what? He says, "There's no way you could..." He says at one point, he said, "Everybody," they're saying, "you've got to be circumcised. You've got to be this. You've got to follow the law and Jesus." And he says, "I wish those people would emasculate themselves. I wish the knife would slip on the circumcision." Now, that's not great to be putting online, but that's just, is that the Bible? Okay. If you don't like it, get you a Jeffersonian Bible. Take out the parts you don't like. But I can't do, God won't let me do that. There's a bunch in there. I say, "Well, why'd you say that?" Anyway, but the point being is that's how hard-headed he was, wasn't he? Amen. He said, I'm going to preach the gospel if I have to build tents the whole time so that I can have something to eat. Is that what he did? And when he's in prison, he's writing letters that are going to become letters for us to have to understand things of church and of the gospel. I'm going to do what God calls me, whatever they do with me. If they beat me with rods, if they boil me with oil, if they leave me for dead, you're not going to stop me. Is that how hard-headed he was? You said, whoa, he's special. Well, he's also hard-headed. Okay, and he did have an anointing. There's no doubt about that. But anybody in here hard-headed? Well, be hard-headed for Jesus. Okay, four of you. Oh, you act. Okay, now there's some more coming up. Oh, they're pointing at other people. Okay, never mind. So, narcs. Okay. So, guys, I want to tell you, there's three levels to this. Number one is God's in charge. Get this. God's in charge. Isn't he?
Yes.
Okay. If you don't like it, I'm sorry. Tough stuff. Okay. But second level is we have choices to make, don't we? Okay. The third level, though, is the supernature of God's work. There is no, you've heard the story already. There's no reason that Kim and I should ever got together. We were hundreds of miles apart. Didn't know anybody that knew anybody. But then God, through a series of events, puts my dad and mom up there. They got to be friends there, and I come in from leave. And there's no reason that should have happened, but God did it. Because he knew I needed a normal person in my life. Okay. No, that's true. That's okay. You know, she is put in for sainthood, by the way. Because they said, you know, after 40 years, I put her on probation at 40 years. I said, if you'll act right another 40, I'll stay with you. Okay. But anyway, but the point being is the supernature of you hearing this today, the supernature of God saying to you today, are you willing to reach out? But the last part of that, guys, is the obedience of that guy to leave his comfort zone and go pray that prayer and go, that Paul got healed, got baptized, got filled with the Spirit because of his obedience. Isn't that what happened? Is that what happened? Okay, so let's bow our heads together. Father, I thank you so much, Lord, first for your word, for your grace, for your mercy, and for your love. And Lord, it's only by your grace that we come into your presence this morning, Lord, and by your cleansing of the very blood of Jesus. And Father, our salvation is something this morning, Lord, that is so precious. And Lord, we hold it dear this morning, Lord, as we celebrated through communion earlier, God, just to remember the fact, Lord, that you paid the price, you paid it all. And Lord, thank you for that. And if there's anybody watching or anybody here today that says, you know what, I've not received Christ. Right now, right where you are, just say, Lord, I need a Savior. I need a Savior. Help me, oh God. I'm a sinner, and I believe that you died on the cross for my sins. And I want to be part of the family. Take me, Lord, just as I am. And I promise you, as you do that, he will do that. He is faithful. And if you do that this morning, tell somebody immediately. Either Facebook message us or tell somebody and get involved and get some people around you that love him and are called according to his purpose. The second thing, guys, I want to pray about this morning with you is that, Lord, these people who need to make that choice to be the men and women you've called them to be, to step out of the boat, to be that person, God, to be that person, God, that they've been called to be the Paul, to be the Peter, to be the redneck, Lord, that I am, that just does what the best I can with what you've given me, to be willing to put it out there, to be able to risk, to take the risk, and to obey and believe and walk your path, Lord. If that's you, Just make that choice. Just say, Lord, help me, give me strength. And remember, the opposite of fear is not bravery. The opposite of fear is action. So begin to take action on what he's called you to do. Whether it's everything starts with small steps, begin to study, pray, read, begin to call on the name of the Lord, begin to open your mouth for him, not for your pet religious whatever, but for the person of Jesus. And Father, we thank you for this group of people. We thank you for what you're doing here. You are so good to us, Lord. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Have a great day. God bless you and keep you. Let his light shine on you and give you peace.